Psalm 42. I want to read the whole psalm. And you follow along as I read. Think about the psalm. We're going to be focusing on mainly verse number 5. But verse number 11 is a sequel to verse number 5. And so just focus on these. But the whole thing gives us a setting that helps us. Psalm 42 verse 1 says, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is your God? Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, and with the multitude that keeps a holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and from the Hermonites, and from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? And why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." The author of the psalm, probably David, doesn't tell us exactly who the author is, but very likely David. And in a time of deep distress and depression, discouragement, and Charles Spurgeon suggests that it was perhaps during the time when David was fleeing from his son Absalom. You may remember his son Absalom was trying to overthrow the throne and take the throne from his father David. And it could have been during that time that this was taking place. And it was a time when he was very low and he was depressed, and depression threatened to overwhelm him. You know, very likely, each of us have experienced times of discouragement, times of defeat, and even depression, similar to David. And the cause of these things in our lives are so many variety of things. It may be fear. It may be financial struggles. It may be frustrations or opposition, or maybe an unbelieving spouse or wayward children or health issues or unfaithful friends or a myriad of other things that can cause us to get down and be discouraged and defeated. During times of depression and discouragement, there seems to be no light at the end of the tunnel. No hope of escape. No peace for the soul. And while we're wading through those times of discouragement and those valleys of depression, we need to talk to ourselves like David did. Did you notice there in verse number 5? David talks to himself and he says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me?" He's talking to himself. And that's really what we need to do when we get into times like this, times of depression and discouragement. And I want us to notice here three lessons we can learn from this psalm that can help us when we get into these times that are so discouraging, so defeating, and so depressing. And all of us have been there. And if you're not in there right now, you will be one of these days. They attack us numerous times in life. But notice with me, first of all, that David did not listen to himself. He did not listen to himself. His heart was hurting. He spent his days and nights crying. We see there in verse number 3, my tears have been my meat day and night, continually. And he felt the burdens about him like water pouring over him. Verse number 7, he says, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. Thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. He felt like he was drowning in all these troubles. They were burying him in their troubles. He felt like he was forgotten by God. In verse number 9, he pours out his heart to God and says, why hast thou forgotten me? And has there been a time in your life when you felt like, God, why are you forgetting me? Why aren't you there? And we pray and we pray and we feel like God just doesn't hear. He doesn't answer. Where is God? He feels like he's miles and miles away. David's heart was hurting. He felt the jabs of his enemies as they spoke to him repeatedly. We see it in verse number 3. Where is thy God? And he says it again in verse 10. Where is thy God? Where is your God when you need him? You know, that's the typical jabs of the unbelievers or even carnal Christians. You know, where is God when we need him? All this problems upon us. Where is God? And they blame God, and so many times people are quick to blame God for their troubles, but they seldom give God glory for the good things that God does. But David here, in the midst of all of this, he was hurting. It was a difficult time. It's difficult to see what was taking place in his life. And sorrows are like that thick, dark storm clouds that are blocking the sun, and it's making life gloomy and frustrating. And David's heart was very heavy. And you know, when we've been in times like that, when our heart is heavy, we're frustrated, we're discouraged, we're defeated, we're having a hard time getting on our feet and keeping ourselves encouraged, we need to do as David did. He did not listen to himself. He did not follow his heart. You know, there's a philosophy in our world today to just follow your heart. Follow your heart. That is not a good philosophy. That is not a good thing to do. God tells us very clearly in the book of Proverbs, chapter 28, verse number 26, he said, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely shall be delivered. Following our heart is the foolish thing to do. It's the opposite of what God wants us to do. God wants us to follow him, not our heart. Trusting in our own heart is trusting in our feelings and our emotions. You ever notice how your feelings and emotions are like a roller coaster? They go up and down and up and down. One moment you're feeling great, and the next moment, oh, everything's going wrong. And we're up and down, we're up and down. That's our emotions and our feelings. And those are fears and our worries and our panics and our irritations and our self-confidence. They just are up and down and up and down all over the place. And there, we cannot trust in that. And when we do, we find ourselves very frustrated. Another big mistake is to focus on the what-ifs of life. I struggle with that sometimes. What if that happens? But what if this happens? And you're laying there trying to think through this and sort this problem out, and you think, yeah, but what if this happens? Oh boy, what if that happens? Oh, that would be terrible. What if this? What if? And the devil keeps putting all these jabs in there that the worst is going to happen. You're just sure of it. And the devil's trying to get us down. We focus on those what-if possibilities. Likewise, it may rely on reason or logic. You know, we may be thinking, well, you know, things don't make sense. It's not logical. Things aren't working out. God's not providing here. And this relying on our heart is humanism. So I can take care of myself. I don't need anything else. God says that's not right. It's living independent of God and ignoring what God tells us in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You have that verse memorized, those verses memorized? I hope so. You need them. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy path. That's what we need in times like this when our emotions are up and down and we're being pulled and tugged and the enemies are saying, where's your God in this time when you need Him? And everything seems to be going wrong and things are caving in around us. And David was feeling the pressures upon him. And we've been there. We've experienced that. And when that is happening, David did not follow his heart. Instead, he followed God. And he did something that was very wise. He talked to his soul. Now, when we think about talking to ourselves, we think, oh, you know, you're losing your mind, you're talking to yourself. But listen, we all talk to ourselves. But it's important that we talk right to ourselves. And what did David do? He asks himself here in verse number 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? And those two questions there he asks himself are very important. The phrase cast down describes being sunk or depressed. It's the idea of reaching a low ebb, down in the deepest of the valleys and the dungeons. Why are you down in there, soul? Why are you feeling so depressed? Why are you so discouraged? What is going wrong? And he may have been actually searching for a cause of his problem. But I don't think so. But that is a possibility when he asked that question, why are you like this? I think David probably knew why he was like that. And most of the time when we're down, we know what's causing the problem. There's a lot of things that can cause our problems. But a lot of the times I think we know what they are. It may sometimes be guilt from unconfessed sin. We just don't get things right after we've done something wrong and it eats at us and eats at us and it gets us down and we feel discouraged and depressed. And we know that deep down inside, but we don't often like to admit that. Maybe a lack of spending quality time with the Lord. Just not spending the time with Him that we ought to. And we know that it's robbing us of the joy and the happiness that we ought to have. And it's keeping us from being what God wants us to be. Maybe a feeling of failure. You know, we've done something that failed. Maybe we failed as a parent. We failed as a Christian. Or we failed God in some way. Or we failed our spouse in some way. And we feel down about that. No, there's nothing wrong with feeling like I need to walk right and I need to do right. I need to take care of the things. But God doesn't want us, once we've confessed our wrongs, God doesn't want us to wallow in that self-pity and feeling defeated because of that any longer. He wants us to be able to press on. Maybe just an accumulation of unresolved problems. Piling up and piling up. The little phrase, the straw that broke the camel's back. You look at a little tiny piece of straw and think, well, that didn't break the camel's back. But all it means is it's just another thing piled on. Finally, it was just one pile on too much, and then we come crashing down. And sometimes we get to the place where we just feel like emotionally we start getting sick because we're down and discouraged and depressed and weighted down, and we can't seem to get out from under it. And David said, why are you cast down, O my soul? What is behind all this? And then he asks the question, why aren't you disquieted within me? The word disquieted means to roar, to groan, to murmur, to have turmoil inside. And he said, why are you all stirred up? Why are you so defeated and groaning inside? Certainly depressed feelings do cause turbulence and groanings within us. We know that. Such feelings cause us to overlook the roses and see only the thorns. A lot of times in life, that's the way it is. Things aren't going nearly as bad as we picture them, but all we see is the thorns. We don't see the beautiful roses in life. And they get us down and get us discouraged. And we feel disquieted and defeated. And we stop caring about others. And we start thinking only of ourselves. That's a typical problem with depression and discouragement. Is we tune out of everybody else and we focus on ourselves. And I have this burden and I have this worry and I have this problem and I have this struggle and I don't feel good and I feel terrible and everything, woe is me. And we stop caring for the people around us. Life is not about us. Life is about those that are around us. God wants us to be servants to others, to helping others and doing so to please the Lord. But when we focus on ourselves, we take our eyes off of what God wants us to do. Depressed feelings are a sure sign that we've gotten our eyes off of God. When we feel down and discouraged and depressed, we're not looking at the Lord. We're looking at ourselves. And we need to know God well enough to be able to encourage ourselves in the Lord. And folks, I've emphasized this over and over, and the reason I keep emphasizing it is because I emphasize it myself. I need to know God better. And if I need to know God better, you probably do too. Because if we really knew who God was and what God was like and could truly trust God, we would not be fearful. We would not have the struggles in life. We would not have the depressing times because we'd say, my God cares and He's able and He will help me. I know He will because I know my God very well. We struggle. We need to know God better. We're discontent with our circumstances that God has allowed in our lives. Hebrews 13:5, the Apostle Paul reminds us, let your conversation be without covetousness. Your conversation is your way of life. He said, don't let your way of life be full of covetousness, but be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What is Paul saying in that verse? He's saying, don't let the circumstances of life get you down. Don't focus on them because God will never leave you nor forsake you. He is saying, God is all you need. God is all I need. When I start feeling down and depressed and discouraged, I've got to get my focus back on God because God is all I need. I don't need the things of this life that make me feel good and make me happy. I need God and I need to please God. And if I have God and I please God, He will make me joyful inside. That's what I need. That's what you need. His questions here, when he asks, why art thou cast down on my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? These questions urged his heart to proper response. Perhaps more than searching for reasons, David is telling himself, you must look beyond the reasons to God. When he says, why art thou cast down on my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? He's saying, listen, look beyond all the problems. You've got a great God. And that's what we've got to do. He knew that he had no true justification for being disquieted in his heart. And the truth is, most of the time we don't either. And I understand there are some medical issues that can cause problems, and I'm not dealing with the medical side of it now. But a majority of the time, our depression and discouragement and defeat is just because we've gotten our eyes off of God and we're not trusting God. And David was turning his eyes back toward God. He could see that his depressed feelings did not please God. And he could see that they were rooted in selfishness and self-pity. So many times. Our problem is that, woe is me. And, oh, poor me. And I've got all these issues. And, oh, and I struggle with that, and you perhaps do too. We focus on ourselves instead of focusing on God and focusing on what God has for us. By asking these questions, David was gently rebuking himself for being selfish. And by admitting this, and he was opening the door for renewal. When we come to the place where we say, my, my discouragement, my defeat is because I'm selfish and I'm not focusing on God like I should. And if we get rid of the things, you know, that maybe the root causes, if it's unconfessed sin or something we've done or something, you know, and we get rid of those problems, we just come to God and say, God, I need to focus on you. I need to focus on you. And we turn our heart to Him and focus on Him, and God will help us and strengthen us. No matter how difficult it may seem, we too must focus on God instead of focusing on ourselves. Then we see here David turned his focus to God's faithfulness. Look at the verse again. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. So he's talking to himself again. He's saying, stop thinking those thoughts. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Hope in God. Hope in God. God can give you your grace. He told himself to hope in God. He firmly commanded himself to hope in God. You know, the Bible is full of examples of God's ability to overcome humanly hopeless situations. And we need to look at those passages. I'm going to just share three of them with you this morning to get your thinking going. But I challenge you to take your Bible and start looking for those times, those stories of the Bible, where God shows us how He conquered an impossible situation. One of them is in the life of Sarah and Abraham. God told Sarah that she was going to have a son. And how did she respond? She's an old woman, far past childbearing age. And God says, you're going to have a son. And she laughed. Said, no way. That's impossible. It's humanly impossible. And God said to her, is there anything too hard for God? We read there in Genesis chapter 18, verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. She did. God did what was absolutely impossible, humanly speaking. Another example. Remember in Israel, Moses had just pronounced to Pharaoh again and again, let my people go. Pharaoh said, why should I let your people go? I don't know your God. And he kept defying God. And God sent the blood and the frogs and the lice and the flies and the murrain and the boils and the hail and the locust and the darkness and the firstborn. And Egypt was left a disaster zone. And most everything was destroyed. And finally Pharaoh says, go! Get out of here! Leave us alone! Go! And then after they left, Pharaoh says, what did we just do? We let go 3 million slaves. That was a stupid thing to do. Let's go get them. And so he got all his army and chased after them. And they had gotten as far as the Red Sea. And they were in a blocked-in peninsula. And they couldn't get away. And here comes they see the dust from the chariots of Pharaoh coming after them. And they panic and say, Moses, we're going to die. God told them to trust him. Exodus chapter 14, verse 13 says, fear ye not, stand still, and ye shall see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And we know the rest of the story. God miraculously did what could not be done. God told Moses to strike the water, and the water parted. And they walked across the Red Sea on dry land. And while the walls of water were still high in the sky, on both sides, the Egyptian army chased in after them. Said, if they can do it, we can do it. And they got halfway across, and God says, okay, let it down. The water came down and killed every one of them. God did the impossible. And it was because they trusted God. That's what we've got to do. We've got a great God. You say, yeah, but our God doesn't part the water anymore and give babies to 80-90-year-old people anymore. God, He's the same God. He hasn't changed. He's still got the power to do the great things that He said He did. One more example, Jesus and His disciples were out on the Sea of Galilee. A terrible storm brews up. They say that storms can come up on the Sea of Galilee very rapidly because of Mount Hermon in the north. It's very high and the cold air from the Mount Hermon swoops down in the Jordan Valley and it comes across the Sea of Galilee and it just turns up a huge storm just very rapidly. And now we're out in the middle on the boat. Jesus is asleep in the boat. And the waves are roaring and Jesus comes along. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. None of the disciples could do that. They couldn't stand up. They've been bailing water and praying and begging and crying out in fear. These are seasoned sailors. And Jesus simply stood up in the boat and said, peace, be still. And the waters instantly were still. Because He is the God of nature as well as the God of our hearts. God is able to do all things. We've got a great God. But we've got to know our God and trust our God and depend upon our God in the times when the billows of water are coming over us as they did at David and we feel depressed and discouraged. We need to trust God. Verse 15:3 states, the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good. We often quote that verse to warn us to guard against evil. And that's a good thing to do with it. But He also says that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. And it says that His eyes are open in every place beholding the evil and the good. God sees everything. He sees your life. He sees my life. He sees all about it. He knows all that we're facing, the good and the bad. He knows when we're facing those difficult times, but nothing is too hard for Him. Nothing. We must hope in God. We've got to hope in God. That's what David said. He said to his soul, he said, soul, why are you cast down? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. It's times like that when we need to sing, great is thy faithfulness. And I've encouraged you before. I don't know how many of you have taken me up on it, but we need to memorize the words of that song. Great is thy faithfulness. It's an awesome song. And all three verses are encouraging and strengthening, and they will help you and they'll build you up in times when you're feeling down and the devil's trying to get you discouraged. We have a great God. No sin is too great for God to forgive. No burden is too heavy for God to lift. If something's has broken your fellowship with God, God is able to and desires to help you restore it. We need to be in close fellowship with God. That's what keeps us from joy. That's what gets us defeated. That's what gets us down and discouraged when the troubles of life come upon us. And life is full of troubles. We're not going to get around that. That's part of life. But when the piles of troubles come pouring over onto us, and we need God's help to help us to hold strong and stand strong. Otherwise, we'll get defeated and fall down under the weight of the pressures. David assured himself that God would deliver him. He continues on, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. He said, I shall. Future tense. David was confident that God would deal with the situation and the day was coming that he would praise the Lord. And we need to have that focus. When we're down and we just remind ourselves, this is not the end. This is not the bottom. God's going to help me. God's going to deliver me. And I will again praise God. I will rejoice in God. He says the phrase, the help of his countenance, can also be translated the deliverance of his presence. The deliverance of God's presence. You know, God, the very fact that he's around us, he is present with us. He can deliver us from those troubles, the burdens, whatever it is that is weighing you down, whatever it is discouraging you, whatever it is that is keeping you feeling like you just can't hardly keep going. God is able to deliver you. He is able. His presence is with us. David knew that the presence of God would deliver him from despair. And as a result, he took his eyes off himself and he looked to God. And he knew that his faithful God would help him. David was confident that he would soon look back and praise God. And folks, that's what we need to do. If you're in one of those pits today, you're down in the depths of discouragement today, or maybe you have been this week, you need to just get your eyes back on God and say, talk to your soul and say, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. I will praise God one day because God's going to deliver me. God's going to give me victory. And now get our eyes back on God. That's what will help us and strengthen us. And so, if you're not presently going through one of those times, you will. We all have. And there'll come some more. And they're never any fun. Those times of discouragement and defeat are not pleasant times. We don't look back on those days and think, oh, what a joyful time that was. No, we look back on it with sorrow of heart. But they don't have to destroy us. We need to do like David. Don't listen to yourself. Talk to yourself. Stop listening to the devil. Stop listening to your heart that's telling you to do things your way. And talk to yourself and say, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Hope thou in God. The best remedy is a fresh look at our great God. Folks, you will never, ever spend too much time focusing on God and thinking about God and meditating on God and praising God and worshiping God. There's so much to know about God. Oh, how I wish I knew God better. And I can't blame anybody but myself. Get distracted. Got to focus on God. Got to trust God. God has never failed me. I have failed Him multiple times, but He's never failed me. We need to talk biblically to our soul, hope in God, and focus on God's ability to deliver us. And then praise Him when He does.